Well, good evening. It's lovely to see each one gathered in the car park this evening. It's been a lovely day, and we're better to join together in the gospel as out in the open air. I want to thank you for your presence here tonight and your support. I know many have been here over through the weeks, and we do appreciate it as we go forward in the gospel again and send forth that wonderful news that Jesus saves. We give our guest speaker, the Pastor Lawrence Kennedy, a very warm welcome. Also his wife and his mother-in-law is with us, and we do pray that they'll feel the warmth of our welcome even here in Saintfield tonight. We enjoyed our brother this morning. I'm sure each of us can say that, and we just pray that as he comes forth a little later here and brings the gospel, that many will respond. We do realise that we don't do it in our own strength. We do it in God and with God's help, hopefully, and we pray that someone will join the many throngs in heaven in rejoicing and of a soul being saved. Just a few announcements before I open in prayer. Wednesday night at 8 p.m. we're back in the church for our prayer meeting, our Bible study. Our brother Tom McCormick will be speaking at that. If you're free, you'd be more than welcome to join us down in the church on Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock. Also next Sunday, that's the 25th of July, Pastor George McConnell from our Kilkeel Fellowship will be along for both services, Sunday morning at 11:30 in the church, and back here again in the car park at 6:30. Remember that, please. But as I said, it's good to have our brother along with us tonight. But before he comes and brings God's word, we're just going to close or bring ourselves before the throne of grace and ask for God's help in the meeting, even that he might speak to our hearts. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, this evening we want to praise and thank you for your goodness to us. Yet another week where we can join in the open air. Father, we thank you for this town of Saintfield. We thank you for each individual in this car park. Indeed, each individual that can hear in the airwaves, dear Lord, we thank you for them. And dear Lord, as you look along amongst our gathering this evening, dear Lord, we realize that you know each heart that is gathered. You know those hearts that are perhaps cold. Dear Lord, perhaps walked well with you, but tonight, dear Lord, they're afar off. Also, Father, we fear for those in our meeting, dear Lord, who have yet another opportunity to hear the wonderful news of salvation. Perhaps never have accepted you as Saviour. And tonight, dear Lord, it is our earnest prayer that you would come alongside our brother, even as he would take to the platform, that, dear Lord, you would give him all the wisdom and strength that he needs to preach forth the gospel. We pray for those that listen, dear Lord, that their hearts might be tender to the word. As the word goes forth, Father, that they might see themselves as a sinful people, dear Lord, as those that are without hope. Father, tonight we thank you, dear Lord, for good news. We thank you that there's hope, dear Lord, in this world that seems to be out of control. We thank you, dear Lord, that you care for us. You love each one of us, dear Lord. You loved us enough that you sent your Son to the cross at Calvary. And so, Father, we would just pray that even as our brother comes now, that, dear Lord, that he might know your presence with him, and that, dear Lord, you would close our time in, dear Lord, together, dear Lord, that your name might be glorified at the end of this meeting for what you have done. So, Father, we just pray now that you'll bless us for your name's sake. Amen. Thank you.
Well, it's good to be with you tonight in Saintfield. Thank you for coming out. What a glorious spell of weather we're having. I was thinking of coming in my shorts, but I don't think you're just ready for that. And so I'm properly attired. But thank you for coming. My name is Pastor Kennedy, Lawrence Kennedy. I was the pastor of Bally Baptist Church in Ballymena for 32 years, from 1988. Until last October, and I've stepped down to continue a work that I'm involved in India. My goal, I'm the chairman of United Grace Mission UK, and my goal is to put my 32 years preaching into book form and get translated into Malayalam and Telugu for the pastors that we work with in India. So I'm in the middle of that, or starting that process. But it is good to be with you tonight. Let's start with another wee word of prayer just before we turn to God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity tonight to speak in this fashion, to open your word. Father, we realize that you know each one gathered, those that are maybe tuning in. And Father, we pray for their homes and their families and their circumstances, unknown to me but known to thee. Father, we pray for our world that's in a mess, gripped by COVID, gripped by political tensions. And our Father, we realize that our world is in a real mess. And we pray for our nation as we come out of the COVID restrictions. Father, we remember families that are grieving because of COVID, because of loss and bereavement. And Father, we pray for our nation politically and morally and spiritually. And Father, we thank you that we have good news tonight. News of Jesus Christ, the ultimate message of hope, of sacrifice and forgiveness. So Father, meet with us tonight. Bless from beginning to end as we commit this service afresh to thee in the Savior's name. Amen. I'm on another diet. You maybe know to look at me that I'm fond of my food. And ever since I was a wee boy, it seems as if I just need to look at food and the weight goes on. So I'm on another diet. I lost 4 stone and I put 2 back on again. And people keep asking me about my diet. How am I going? How am I doing? What weight have I lost? What do I miss the most? Well, that's easy. I miss bread the most. I love bread, all kinds of bread, but I miss the bread. And I also miss the occasional takeaway. You know, whenever I was driving past a chip shop and I can nearly hear it calling to me. And if there's nobody in the queue, I think it's a divine sign that I'm meant to go in and buy something. And of course, it goes straight on my hips. Tonight, I want to give you a few takeaways. So I hope you've come to the meeting hungry tonight. The first takeaway is found in Psalm number 51. And for those who know their Bibles, they'll know Psalm 51 well. It was a psalm that David wrote after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba and has been confronted by the prophet Nathan, and he's a broken man. And it's a psalm of brokenness and confession. And he says this in Psalm 51 and verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. What a verse. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. What a takeaway. That takes our pride away, doesn't it? Because if we put ourselves in that psalm, and we put ourselves in that verse, then God is saying to you and me tonight, behold, we were shaped in iniquity, and in sin did our mothers conceive us. Dear friend, tonight you can put on a new suit, or you could put on a fancy, expensive new dress. You can get your hair done and get a facelift. And you can look in the mirror and think, well, now you're not too bad for your age. And you can say, now I could pass for maybe 10 years younger than what I really am. But dear friend, God looks right down into the heart. He looks past your best outfit. He looks past your designer labels. And he sees you the way you really are. And this is what he says. Behold, you were shapen in iniquity, and in sin did your mother conceive you. Look how we started there when we were just thought of in our parents' mind, even maybe not thought of, and a miracle of birth. It's not that the act of procreation is sinful, but that from our very inception, we are tainted by sin. Inherited from our forefathers, we are born traveling away from God in the wrong direction. We are shaped in iniquity. I said I was fond of my food. Let me take you back to I was a wee boy. I had an older sister, Ray, and an older brother, Des, and a younger brother, David. 4 in the family. We used to love our Sunday dinner. Because Sunday dinner, you got soup to start off with, and then you'd your roast and potatoes and vegetables, and then you always had a dessert on a Sunday. My mother had different shaped jelly molds. Animal jelly molds. There was one was a horse, one was a cow, one was a cat, one was a dog. One was an elephant. And as a wee boy, I very quickly discovered that the elephant jelly mold held the most jelly. That was important back then. One Sunday, four wee hands, my sister and my two brothers and me, all went for the elephant jelly mold. It slipped off the table, it hit the ground. You know, something funny happened. It got dented that day, and every single jelly that my mother made with that mold bore the mark of the fall. It was dented. You could see it. And we used to often talk, do you remember the day it fell off the table? Do you remember the day it got dented? God had a mold, a perfect mold, called Adam and Eve. One day that mold fell, got damaged. And every single person made from that mold, right down through the years of humanity, bear the mark of the fall. We're dented. We're bruised. We're damaged. That's how we started. Look how we continue. Paul, writing to the Romans in chapter 3, said, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Isaiah the prophet, writing 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, said it like this in chapter 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's how we are tonight. Tonight we can think of John 3:19. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Maybe tonight you're rightly proud of your life. Maybe you can look back and tick many of the boxes that you set out to achieve in your young days. Maybe you're proud of your family and your reputation and your position in the community. Tonight, take this takeaway. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. That takes our pride away. There is no room for boasting. There is no room for snobbery. This message is a great leveler. We all stand guilty as sinners before God. This takeaway, dear friend, is hard to digest. It sort of sticks in the throat. It might even make you cross with the preacher, but sin holds us captive. It takes our souls to a lost eternity. But it is only when we take this takeaway, when we realize our lostness and our sinfulness, that we realize how bad things really are. I should take time and let that takeaway settle in your mind, in your throat, in your stomach. Takes our pride away. Dear friend, listen to me. If you end up before the God of heaven tonight, all your list of credentials will mean nothing. The only thing he's interested in is, what did you do with Jesus? It's the only thing that matters. The only thing that counts. So one takeaway, it takes our pride away. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. But I've got another takeaway. This one's easier to digest. It's found in John's Gospel chapter 1. John's Gospel chapter 1 and verse 29. John the Baptist, the cousin of the Lord Jesus, is preaching. And he sees the Lord Jesus coming one day. And he points the finger directly at him. And he says, in the words of John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. What a takeaway. If Psalm 51 takes our pride away, then John 1:29 takes our sin away. There is an answer to the awfulness of sin. There is a solution to the problem of sin. and it is found in Jesus Christ. It takes our sin away. I praise God for this takeaway. The Lamb of God is a strange title, isn't it? Takes us away back to Exodus chapter 12. Those of you who know your Bible will remember that Israel were slaves in Egypt. God wants to redeem them. And so he started to send plagues to the land of Egypt. There was water turned to blood. There was the frogs and the lice, the flies, the pestilence among the livestock, boils, hail, locusts, darkness. Number 10 was the death of the firstborn. I can imagine a panic through the nation. But God says, no, listen. Take a little lamb without blemish, a male of the first year. Keep it 14 days to make sure there's no blemish or cut or bruise. Kill it in the evening. Take the blood. Use a bunch of hyssop. Put it in the doorpost and the lintel. And when I see the blood of the little lamb, I will pass over you. Israel still celebrates it to this day, the Feast of Passover. Whenever they were delivered from Egypt, when they were under the blood of the lamb, a little innocent lamb died and the people went free. How did that work? How was that fair? How did that work way back in Egypt? Well, all the blood of those little lambs, all the blood that was shed on Israel's altars, the bullocks, the rams, the sheep, the goats, the little turtle doves, all that blood was pointing to God's perfect lamb, God's perfect sheep, God's perfect sacrifice in the person of his son. And John the Baptist recognized him. And he pointed the finger and he says, here he is. Behold, look, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Friend, he died for us. God's perfect sacrifice. He, the innocent one, died that we might go free. And when we come realizing Psalm 51 that we are guilty and we are steeped and we are broken by sin, when we come to the Lamb of God, he can take away the sin of the world. That's the good news of the gospel. It's not in a denomination. It's not in a church. It's not in a religion. It's found wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, the God-man. There's none like him. There's none can be compared with him. He stands unique and alone. God's perfect sacrifice. And he died so that the guilty can go free. Don't carry your sins any longer. Rather, come to the one who died for you and can cleanse and forgive you and renew you. If I could use an illustration up here that you can see, if you can see me. Imagine in this hand is me or you. And we have on us the weight of sin. You can go to church all your life, it won't budge it. You can be the best neighbor that you could be, it won't budge it. You could give to charity and be mentioned on the news of how much you've given, it won't budge it. On this side, we've got Jesus Christ. He has no sin. He's perfect in mind and thought and deed. He's the eternal God. At the cross, he took my sin and he made it his very own so that I can go free. Dear friend, that's a wonderful message. That's why I left my job in the bank many years ago now, so that I could tell men and women of their great need because of sin, but the great Savior who can meet their need. You're not fooled yet. Sure you're not. You've had one takeaway. Psalm 51 takes our pride away. Shaping an iniquity. Dear friend, don't you think you're too good or you're better than others. We're all the same. We're sinners through and through, every one of us, preacher included. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That takes our sin away. What a wonderful takeaway. Let me give you another takeaway. This time is in John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 37. John is recording the words of Jesus Christ, and he said this in verse 37, John 6, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Let me read that again. Very important verse. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. If Psalm 51 takes our pride away, and if John 1:29 takes our sin away, John 6 takes our excuses away. Takes our excuses away. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him or her that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. It takes every excuse away. In my time, I've heard some excuses. I've heard people say, well, I'm not a sinner. And then when you push them on it, they say, well, I'm not as bad as some others. And that's probably true. But if you have one sin, it bars heaven to you. One sin. The doors are locked. I've heard people say, well, I'm too educated. I don't need that kind of a crutch. I can manage all right and my own. I'm an educated person. I've heard other people say, well, I've seen too many hypocritical Christians, and they say one thing but they live another. And they're probably right, you know. We don't do the gospel any justice sometimes. Others say, well, I couldn't keep it. But listen to me tonight from John 6:37. Whether you look at this verse from the Father's perspective, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, or you look at the verse from man's perspective, him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Whether you look at from God's perspective or man's perspective, you've still got to come. You will not waken up tomorrow morning and think, my goodness, I feel a wee bit different. I think I must have become a Christian last night. No, you must come. You must realize that you're a sinner. Realize that there's only one can save from sin because he died on the cross for you. And you come and you trust him. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Dear friend, you have no excuse. No matter who you are, what age you are, your circumstances, your past, maybe you could write a book. Maybe you know things about your life and you say, preacher, if you knew my background, you wouldn't even allow me in the car park. I tell you, you don't know my background. God looks down, he sees all our backgrounds and he says, we're all sinners, there's no difference. Takes our pride away. Jesus Christ died on the cross to take our sin away. And here in John chapter 6, he says, all that come to me, I'll not cast them out. You take your excuses away. There's appeals throughout all of Scripture. I haven't time to look at them tonight, but I think of Moses there in Exodus 32. Israel had made a golden calf to worship and they were bowing the knee because all the other nations did it round about. And he thought, well, it's good enough for them. We'll try it too. And Moses came down from the mountain and he said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come to me. And the Levites got up and came to him. I think of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 30, calling God as a witness, said to the nation, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Choose life. I think of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 15, standing at the entrance to the nation. He says, choose you this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I think of Elijah up on top of Mount Carmel, 1 Kings 18. And he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. I think of Peter on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Whenever he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, I dear friend, right from the start of our Bible to the end, God is calling out to you and saying, come to me. You're steeped in sin. I've provided the Savior, the Lamb of God. And you've no excuse. No excuse. Charlotte Elliott writing about 130 years ago. She captured this thought when she said this. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Oh, come. We've had three takeaways. Are you full yet? I think you've room for another few. Yeah? Psalm 51 takes her pride away. We're shaping an iniquity. John 1:29 takes our sin away. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The Lord Jesus can take your sin away tonight. John 6 takes your excuses away. But you're not fooled yet. Let me give you another one in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Where the Sermon on the Mount, just a wee bit above Tiberias there in the slopes of Galilee, many's the time have been there. And he starts to give this great sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And he says this in Matthew 6 and verse 26. It says, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? What a beautiful verse. Behold the fowls of the air. Don't see any. They neither sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? If Psalm 51 takes my pride away, and John 1:29 takes my sin away, and John 6 takes my excuses away, I'll tell you, Matthew 6 takes my cares away. Takes my cares away. Because in all the problems of life, there's a heavenly Father watching over me. From the moment I trusted him, didn't always want to be. I was brought up in a Christian home. I had religion up to here. Brought up in the gospel hall. When we had missions, they went on for 15, 16, 17 weeks. And you had to be there every night. My dream was to play rugby for Ireland. I'm more the shape of the ball now than the players, but that's a different story. My dream was to run out on what was the Lansdowne Road, green jersey on, and hear the roar of the crowd. And then one night, sitting in a service, I realized Psalm 51, I was guilty as could be. I realized that God had provided the only Savior of men, the Lord Jesus Christ. I realized I had no excuses, and I asked him into my heart. I said, Lord, I'm a guilty sinner. I deserve hell tonight, but I believe you love me. I believe you died for me. I'm trusting you. I'm staking all that I have on you. I'm resting on you. And he changed this life of mine. He did. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the half has never yet been told. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me that I am his own. And the joy that we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He takes my cares away. He'll never leave me for a second. In the deepest of valleys, he'll hold my hand. in the hospital ward. He'll put his arms around me. He'll never leave me for a second. It's wonderful to be a Christian. When you trust the Lord Jesus Christ with repentance and faith, you become part of his family, and he takes up residence in your heart by his Spirit, and he will walk with you through all the ups and downs of life. Maybe you tonight are in a valley time. Maybe you're on a mountaintop. Just be patient. The valley's coming. You can't have a mountain without two valleys. It hits us all at some time. The problems of life. Maybe the blood pressure is up and the pressure is on and you can't sleep and the appetite's gone. You're waiting for tests. You're waiting for treatment. Worry and tears. This takeaway is for you. It takes our cares away, because he'll never leave us nor forsake us. There's a comforter for the broken heart. He lifts us up. He instills a calm. He adds strength. He imparts joy in the midst of heartache. And Joseph Scriven, who was born in Bambridge, there's a wee memorial to him there just off the main street. He said this: "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Four takeaways. Psalm 51 takes our pride away. We're shaped in iniquity. What a terrible state we're in. John 1:29, that takes our sin away. "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." My friend, without him, you're a sinner. Without him, you can be a religious sinner, a good sinner, a moral sinner, an upstanding sinner, but you're still a sinner. Because only him can take away sin. Jesus Christ, God's Lamb, the Lamb of God. And then we had John 6, that takes our excuses away. "Him that cometh unto me." Oh, you could come tonight, friend. Sir, madam, young person, you could come tonight. "Because him that cometh to me," says Jesus, "I will not cast away." And then Matthew 6 takes my cares away. My Heavenly Father cares for me. He's going to see me right through to the end of the journey. Whether it be short or long, he's going to see me through. One last takeaway. And for this one, we go right to the end of our Bible. In fact, almost at the last verse. Revelation 22 and verse 12. The Lord Jesus is speaking and he says this: "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." That takes myself away. Oh, this is the ultimate takeaway. Jesus Christ has said that he's coming back again to take those who love him and have trusted him, to take them to be with himself. The Lord Jesus has promised to return. And as we look across the world tonight, the signs of it are all around us. Political correctness, gender confusion, wars, political unrest, pestilence, natural disaster. And Carl Blackmore, I think it was, wrote the hymn, "Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles all won. He'll shout the victory, break through the gloom. Some golden daybreak for me, for you." Tell me, if he was to come back tonight, where would your soul be? If this meeting was your last opportunity to have your sin dealt with, where would you be? I can't answer that. This is something between you and God. This is something in your soul. This is something that you need to sort out. The day of grace is almost over. There'll be no more gospel or opportunity. And maybe you'll live the rest of your life thinking of this very meeting and hearing the gospel. maybe thinking of praying parents, praying grandparents, and you rebelled and went your own way. And you're facing a lost eternity. Five takeaways. You'll remember them. The next time you're at the chip shop, or somebody brings in a fish supper, remember these takeaways, won't you? Psalm 51, shaven and nickel, that takes our pride away. John 1, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. That takes our sin away. John 6, him that cometh unto me, I will no wise cast out. That takes our excuses away. Matthew 6, think of the birds of the air. It takes our cares away. He cares for them. And 1 Thessalonians 4, be caught up together with him in the air to meet the Lord. And Revelation 22, behold, I come quickly. Salvation will not happen automatically. You must see your sin and its impact. See Jesus Christ and his provision on the cross. And turn away from sin and put your trust in him. With no reservations and no restriction, embrace him. Let me finish with a wee story and then I'll close in prayer. True story. It was a day like this. Beautiful, hot, sunny day up in Donegal. Kids were playing on the beach. People were in for a swim. People were sitting enjoying the beautiful sunshine. And then somebody thought they heard something and they peered out over the water. And here's a man fighting and struggling. And he was shouting, help! Help! Help me! And everybody looked at each other, thinking, I wonder who's going to go. Are you going to go? No, I'm not. Are you going to go? One young lad, stripped down, dived into the water, and with powerful strokes, in no time at all, he was out where the fellow was drowning. But a strange thing happened. Instead of rescuing him, he started to swim around him. And every time he came past, the man tried to grab him. Or tried to snatch him. But the fellow just kept swimming around him. And the people on the shore were saying, rescue him, rescue him, grab him. And he just kept swimming around him. Eventually the man in trouble, no energy left. Couldn't fight anymore. He gave up. And he started to sink. And as soon as he gave up and started to sink, the young man came in and got him under the chin and brought him to the shore, and everybody applauded. One man said to the rescuer, what were you doing out there? Why didn't you rescue him immediately? The young lad said this, if I had have tried to rescue him when he was trying to rescue himself, the two of us would have gone down. I had to wait until he wouldn't fight, but he would just rest on me. And when I knew he would just rest on me, that's when I could save him. Dear friend in Saidfield tonight, are you trying to save yourself? You go to a good church, or you're a good moral person, and you're as good as anybody else. Listen, while that's your thinking, God can do nothing for you. He came to save sinners. And he's looking for someone tonight who will just rest on him. Rest on his provision. Rest on what he's done at the cross. And trust him with all their heart. Remember the takeaways. And I trust that it'll make you think. But eternal matters. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for your word this night. We have looked at different verses of scripture under the umbrella of takeaways. Father, we think of Psalm 51 takes our pride away. We're sinners through and through. We know that deep down. We don't like to admit it. Lord, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. We thank you that's what the cross is all about. He died for sinners. He can cleanse us and make us white as snow. Father, we thank you for John 6 that takes our excuses away. Him that cometh unto me, her that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Father, we thank you that there is no excuse. Father, we thank you for Matthew 6 that takes our cares away. And one day, maybe tonight, you'll come to take ourselves away. What a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see, and he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day. Glorious day that will be. Father, grant when the roll is called up yonder, that we'll all be there. Not because of us, not because of religion, but because we realized we were sinners and we trusted in the Savior of sinners, the Lord Jesus. Bless each one. Take us home in safety. Father, undertake for Christ's sake.